Anyway, let's take our Bible and turn to the book of Ruth. Book of Ruth. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to see you in the house of the Lord. Good to have visitors in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We appreciate that so much. And we're going to go to chapter number 2, Ruth chapter number 2. And I'm just going to pray, and then we'll just try to fellowship the leadership of the Lord and preach tonight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to the book of Ruth again tonight, as we're trying our best to follow your leadership and your guidance as we preach through this book. And God, I pray, Father, as we come to another text, another portion of Scripture, if you, Father, you'll take that Scripture, and God, as you've poured it in us, may you pour it through it. God, may you use us tonight. I want to thank you again, Father, for helping us preach this morning. God, I want to give you all the honor and all the glory. God, even though I made light about it a little bit minute ago, God, I want to thank you for touching us. I want to thank you, God. I wasn't making light about what you've done for us. I was just making light about enjoying the preaching. But God, I was thankful for the presence and the power and, Father, the wooing of the Spirit of God. And God, I don't want to never, Father, never have that Spirit and have that wooing and not be thankful for the moving of the Holy Ghost. God, we're always thankful when you show up and, Father, when you work in our hearts and work in our lives. God, I need you again. I pray you'll help us to preach the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. God, I pray that you would anoint us and fill us. God, I know that my flesh, Father, I feel fine. I thank you for helping me feel well. God, you know why I have this little cough. And God, I leave that up to you. God, I pray now you'll help us to preach. And God, you'll clear our mind and clear our throats and help us to be anointed and filled with your Spirit. Thank you for your people, and thank you, Father, for their faithfulness to the house of God. God, there's many churches that couldn't even have church tonight because the people wouldn't come back. God, your people's here. God, they didn't come just to hear a little sermonette. Father, they come to hear a word from heaven. God, I pray, Father, you'll give us a word from the Lord, God. That's what we need. That's what will sustain us. That's what will fill us. That's what will help us tonight. God, we need help. We need help to fight against the devil. God, we need help to fight against this old body, God. We need help to fight against this flesh and fight against, Father, the things that pulls us in the world and all the things that we're going to face. And I pray you help us. But now I pray, God, that you'll open up our minds and our hearts. God, I pray for we be sensitive to listen to the Spirit of God speak to us. May, Father, we rid our minds of all the things that clutters them up to keep us from hearing. God, may we try to hear the Word of God. May we seek to hear your voice tonight. God, if they'll do that, then they'll hear from you, I know. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say it. Amen. Amen. We'll come to this wonderful, wonderful, beautiful book, the book of Ruth. We come to this book, and we've already looked at, we've seen the lack of faith by Elimelech, and he took his family and went down to Moab. Then we've seen the faith of Naomi as she comes back. And oh, what a blessing it is to see that you and I, as the song was just sung, we can come back to the Lord. Amen. If you don't throw the clay away. And she came back in the faith of Ruth, and she claimed. I tell you, it's really a contrast in the world, really, because she, being a daughter-in-law, shows her great love for a mother-in-law. I might need to say that again. Daughter-in-law showing her great love for her mother-in-law. Of course, in that great love for her mother-in-law, she was also expressing her faith for the God of Naomi, the God of Israel. And so she was expressing her faith to him and to go in there. As a matter of fact, in chapter number 2, Boaz refers to that in verse number 11 when he talks about what has fully been revealed to him, fully been shown to him, all that she had done for her mother-in-law. Yeah. And so he mentions that. But then we've seen the faithfulness of Boaz in chapter number 2. And we've seen Boaz being a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing that is to be able to see that. But tonight I want to, if the Lord will help me, I want to preach on, now we see the faith's fruitfulness. Faith's fruitfulness. Faith's fruitfulness. And we see that in chapter number 2. I can't say that very well, but you get what I'm saying. Faith's fruitfulness, okay, how that faith brings forth fruit in our life. And so we see that in Ruth chapter number 2. I want to start reading with verse number 19. And the Bible says, and her mother-in-law said unto her, Where has I gleaned today? And this, I've already prayed, so let me just mention something here. You got to realize chapter number 2, Naomi's come and Ruth's come back. They've come back in the beginning of the barley harvest, and now Ruth has said, I'm going to go out and pray, you know, and hope I can find favor, hope I can find grace, hope I can find somebody to let me glean. I mean, she's a Moabite, and she's living in the land of Israel now, but she's back in Bethlehem, Judah, and she's a stranger in the land. She's a stranger in the field, and so somebody's going to have to make kindness to her and allow her to reap in the field. And so she knows that. Verse number 2 of chapter 2, and Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And so we find here that she goes to find some grace. I'm glad faith can always find grace. Amen. Amen. But anyway, and so we see here, that's what gets us to this point. She goes, she's seen by Boaz. Boaz takes notice of her in the field. He begins to speak to her. He's kind to her. I mean, he does all kinds of things for her. Look at verse number 9. He said, let thine eyes be on the field that they, talking about his reapers, they do reap, and go thy after them, talking about his maidens. Have thou not charged the young men that they should not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. I'm telling you. And then look at verse number 13. Then she said, why have I found favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me. Verse number 14, and Moab said to her, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread. I'm telling you, there's a lot of things going on here. And so we find that this is all happening to her. And then we come to verse number 19, and she said that her mother, she comes back home, she beats out the gleaning that she has, and she has an ephah of a barley, and it comes back in verse number 19, and her mother-in-law said to her, where has I gleaned? Amen. Now, if you'll realize that she gleaned out enough, probably, and I'll probably say this somewhere else in the message, but she gleaned out enough for a whole week's worth of eating in one day. And that's a really good day of gleaning, amen, in that day in the economy and what was going on around. And so in verse number 19, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi's eyes lit up, I'm telling you, like saucers. Amen. And she said, and Naomi said unto the daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us. One of the next kinsmen. Amen. I mean, there's something going on in the back of Naomi's mind. I mean, she's came with a faith back to God. She's made that trip back with her and Naomi. She's brought this baggage with her, following behind her. She's already told him, don't call me Naomi, but call me Myra, because God has dealt bitterly with me. She's already told him that I've been broken and I've been emptied and I've been made. But I'm telling you, God don't never take anything away. They don't expect to put something back. And so she comes here, and now she's realizing that, hey, there's hope, my friend. There's hope, my friend. Amen. So we see faith's fruitfulness. Naomi's name means pleasant. Ruth's name has several different definitions. You know, when you go to study sometime, amen, I went to our Old Testament survey, and that was written by Brother Steve over here. That's why I looked at Brother Steve, smiled at him. He said it meant one thing. I went to Brother Herbert Locker, and Brother Upper Locker, I think, just had $1, and he named her Ruth. So he loved the name. He didn't even describe the name himself. He went to Wilkinson's a book. It's called the book of a book that he used distinguished persons. And he said that he went to the book that he used. Let me see the name of it here. Wilkinson's book, Personal Names of the Bible. Chapter number 2 was a chapter on the heathen, names of the heathens. And that was Ruth's name in there. And he said this, her name means something worth seeing. Or a female friend. Brother Steve said it meant being a friend. I believe I'm right about that. I didn't write that down. Then I went to other writers, and they had definitions. Dr. Ronnie Simpson said Ruth's name means to be satisfied. I kind of liked that one, too. I kind of liked all of them. I kind of like something to be seen. I mean, a friend A female friend. I like that one. I like this one about being satisfied. You know, there's something tonight, a true believer, that, you know, we can be satisfied.
Hey.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, really, she wasn't, even though Naomi was a blessing to Ruth, Naomi didn't satisfy Ruth.
Yeah.
Amen. Naomi's a picture of Israel, of course, but she's also a picture of a religious system. And then we see that even though she's back in the, we realize she comes back, excuse me. We realize even though she's back in the land of Bethlehem, Judea, which is a house of bread, which is a place of worship. But I tell you, even worship won't satisfy you.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Religion can't satisfy you. Even worship can't satisfy you. But when she finally comes to Boaz, amen, and him is strength. When she come to meet her Boaz, that's where she found her sufficiency. That's where she found her satisfaction. Hey. Can I tell you, every true believer, they have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ to become a true believer. And he's the only one that can satisfy
amen.
A believer. Amen. Now, I'm talking about the people that are lost. They're in religious systems. There's people lost. They worship. Some worship they know not what. And it don't satisfy. I remember the first church I pastored in Westminster, South Carolina. We had a gentleman that was had a man in the church. His son was out of church at the time. He wanted him to get back in church, and he asked me to go by and see him. And I did befriend him and went by and seen him. And sure enough, God began to work in his heart. And he came to church, came down the altar, and got things right. And about stayed in about 2 or 3 weeks. And he drifted back out into the same religion he was in before, in a little religion. And that religion was based on sensism. It was based on the worship of the flesh. And they had a lot of things about worship. And I mean, the services was wild and crazy and different things like that. But you know what happened to him? I began to talk to him again, and never did get him back in the house of the Lord. But you know what? He said, I went over there and I started worshiping, but he said I wasn't fulfilled. I'm telling you, worship will not fill you. The things of this flesh, fleshly worship, will not fulfill you. Just the religious activities will not fulfill you.
Yeah.
It's only a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that will fill you and satisfy a believer's soul. Amen. So we realize, and so he satisfied. So I come now to my text here, my introduction to my text, really, I guess you could say. And we see that faith finds some things in this chapter. Faith finds some things. As Ruth goes out, verse number 10, you know what she found? She said, I'm going to go look for grace. That's what she said in verse number 2, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Look what she said in verse number 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, talking about Boaz, why have I found grace in thine eyes?
Hey.
You know what faith will find? Faith will find grace.
Hey. Yeah.
Amen. When you and I step out and live by faith, you know what we'll find? We'll find the grace of God. We'll find it sufficient for every need, sufficient for every circumstance. That'll be sufficient for everything we face. The grace of God will. And not only that, she found the grace of God, but she found a full reward. Look at verse number 11. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been shown to me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law, since the death of thy husband, how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, the land of thy nativity, and art come to the people which thou knowest not hereto. The Lord recompense thy work in what? A full reward.
Hey.
Amen. A full reward. Hey, I'm talking about what faith will find. Amen.
Yeah.
Fine. And you know why there's a full reward? It's because of the grace of God. When you and I labor in the field, when you and I labor and work, we find a full reward. She found grace. We find out that faith finds grace. And then secondly, we find out that faith finds favor. Look at verse number 13. Now, this is what some people call Bible preaching. Might not get you excited, but it's Bible preaching. Verse number 13, it says favor. It said, then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me. Oh, we see this thing of favor. Amen. Oh,
yeah.
Thank God for the, you know, I prayed when I came here to this church over 15 years ago. You know what I prayed that God would give me? I prayed God would give me favor. There's two things I prayed real specific for. One was I prayed God would give me 5 years with all the people that we had. As far as I know, the only person we lost was Mrs. Chadwick, and she was already in the rest home when I came. And then the first 5 years, that's the only person that passed away. And and we was able to have those people. I think there was one family that may have left during that time, but we was able to minister and work. Now, I know there was one family that left, but God gave us favor. You know, favor among men. I tell you, we need favor among men. Favor has been said. Favor has been said. You know what favor can bring? Blessings. Favor is the extension of God's grace. That's what it is. Matter of fact, favor, if you look this up in your Strong's, this word that's used for favor here, 38 times it's quoted as grace in the Word of God in your King James Bible. And it's the Bible's not wrong. It didn't need to say grace here. It needs to say favor. Why? Because it's talking about the favor that God had extended because man had gave it. She found favor because man had extended. Of course, that man, Boaz, was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad he sent favor for you and I. I'm glad there's favor for us. Faith finds favor. Favor can bring great blessings in less than 24 hours. She walked out the door that morning. She's walking back in that night, and she's a different lady. She went from a stranger to a star. She was a stranger. Y'all ain't getting this. I mean, she was a stranger. She walked out as a stranger looking for some grace. She come back a star in the eyes of Boaz. I'm telling you, that's a change, my friend. There was a time the same thing happened to you. You walked into some church or you heard the gospel somewhere and you bowed your head and you was a stranger, but you raised up a star in his eyes. Saved by the marvelous grace of God. And I'm telling you, in a 24-hour span, it's just a moment of time, less than a day, God completely changed her. Favor, you know what favor done for her? Favor caused her to sit with Boaz. She's sitting with Boaz. He's a wealthy man of valor. He's a mighty man of wealth. Yeah. Amen. I mean, she's sitting, we can liken him to probably a king in ways. But she, and then we know he's a picture, I already preached that, he's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she's sitting with him. We're talking about this Moabite. We're talking about her native land is Moab. She's been with the heathen gods. She's lived in the heathen land. And now she's sitting with the one that owns all the land. She's sitting with one that's likened unto the king. Amen. Don't get excited now. Let that Episcopalian stay in you, okay? Don't get excited. Favor caused her to sit with Boaz. But all of that, favor caused her to sup with Boaz. I mean, she's eating with the king. I tell you what. A year ago, I wouldn't have said this. But I'll say it tonight. If the president called me tonight, want me to come and have supper with him, I'd be excited about it. Amen. I'd be excited about it. And can you imagine y'all see it on CNN? And the reports, Pastor Tim McCutley and President Donald Trump are having supper at the White House tonight. I bet y'all be excited about it, wouldn't you? There'd be people that hadn't never came to Philadelphia Baptist Church to be here next Sunday. Just because we went to be able to see the president. I'm telling you, she just went from a proper now sitting and eating and supping with Boaz. What I'm trying to get to y'all to see, that is the amazing God that you and I serve. What our God can do for us. How our God can work in our life. You know, we don't think we're anything, and I know we're supposed to think that, but yet, hey, we're somebody, not because of us, but because of Him. I mean that's what it's kind of like. I mean, she's sitting with Boaz. I mean, Boaz don't have a bad reputation. He ain't got the legacy that we was talking about, that other group, that we wouldn't care if they'd called. Amen. We're talking about, he's got the right kind of legacy. He's got the right kind of royalty. I mean, there's something about this man. There's something great about him. And favor, grace, favor has caused him to be able to sit with Boaz and sup with Boaz. And then faith has come. This is not even my message. I'm just loving it, amen. Faith calls her to be sufficed. Look what it says. Number 14. And Boaz said unto her, now y'all just forget about the coughing. It ain't bothering me. At meal time, well, it is bothering me, but at meal time, come thou thither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed.
Yeah.
She was satisfied.
Yeah.
Well, I really say it like this, she was full.
Yeah.
She ate all she wanted.
Amen. Yeah.
It was buffet style. Amen. She could eat all. It was one of those all-you-can-eat places. I like going down here to the Japanese, what is it, not Japanese, Chinese place. There used to be Ryan's and Hibachi, and I like going down there. And if this is on the internet, we want money for advertising. Hibachi, and you're going down there, and guess what? You can eat all you want.
Yeah.
You go over to the salad. And they don't, nobody stand there and say, well, you can get a few little bit of lettuce, you can get a few little of these things, a few little of this thing. You know. No, you just get all you want.
Yeah.
You go there where they have the shrimp. Hey, where's my sister? Amen. Sister Stringer and I, we love that shrimp.
Yeah.
And we like it when they peeled it. We're really upset they don't peel the shrimp no more. Anyway. And so I just lost my money from the advertising. But you got, and they don't say you can just take one. Matter of fact, you have to pull around in that ice and get. You usually take the last ones. I mean, if I go down there, I mean, I'm gonna get my money's worth. I don't even care for Chinese food. I just go down and eat the shrimp and stuff like that. Amen. I mean, I like Chinese. It's all right. I love food. That's just my problem. I like all kinds of food. Somebody said, "What are you gonna eat?" Don't matter to me. I like it all. I'm like Brother Steve. We want to be out running around. He said, "Well, hey, where you want to go eat? We want to eat this fast food." It don't matter. They're all good. Amen. Big Mac. It's all good. Amen. Whopper. They all good. Wendy's. Hot and juicy. It's all good. Amen. Now, well, when we leave from here, somebody's going to take me out to eat. I know. But anyway. But she left his presence full.
Amen.
She left his presence full. Why? Because she found favor.
Yeah.
She found grace. She found favor in his eyes. Then favor caused her to leave with supplies for the future. Look at verse number 17. So she gleaned in the field until the evening and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Amen. Amen. Why? Because he had let her glean among, she said, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. Amen. And then also he did reach parched corn, and she did eat. Amen. He was given unto her. And also he said this, you know, put some what? And he let fall some handfuls of purpose.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm telling you, he's providing for her even for the future.
Hey.
She has enough. I already said that she had enough to do for her and her mother-in-law to eat for a whole week. Now, see, that don't mean much to y'all because y'all got 3 months supply in the pantry. Well, if you don't, y'all need to come to the house. All I guess. Because what I'm saying, I tell Deborah every time, I said, we need to take a month's fast, not of eating, but of going to Walmart. Except for buying milk at Kroger's. Amen. And bread and the eggs. There's enough in this pantry right here. Because you know what happens? In a few, it's time goes on. We know what we start doing. Well, we're going to clean, look through the pantry, and we start looking, and guess what we start finding? Out-of-date stuff. Now, out-of-date stuff, to me, don't really mean you can't eat it. But to Miss McCulley, Miss says, I didn't even know canned drinks had out-of-date on it. They do, though. Miss McCulley, if it's out-of-date, she don't drink it. We drink it, but she don't. We live, she lives too, man. Sometimes it's really out of date. It may taste a little weaker. I never notice. Who knows? I don't look at the date anyway. It's just a Coke. I don't drink Cokes much anyway. Amen. But I'm telling you, we got all that food. But in that economy, and in their situation, being widows, not having a husband to sustain them, the work, I mean, for them to get a morsel, for them to get a meal, and to get a meal. Hey, y'all been to the third world country. Some of y'all been to the third world country. Missionaries, third world country. But some of y'all been third. Hey, they wake up the morning not knowing where food's coming from. So we don't understand that. You didn't eat breakfast this morning. Did you? I didn't eat breakfast this morning. No, because you didn't want to. It was there. Amen. You just didn't want to. You didn't take time to. You got up too late. Somebody say amen. But oh, I killed the service right there. But anyway. Hey, it meant something here. This is food for the future. I'm telling you, what God does for us is extremely great. He sustains our life. He gives us food. He gives us supplies for the future. Amen. We can sing that song, Every Need Supply. Amen. See, she could rest when she wanted to rest. She didn't have to worry about them young men touching her. If she got hungry, guess what? He told her she could come at mealtime, come and eat.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
If you get thirsty, you don't have to go find some water out here in the field or over in there. You go, hey, those young men just draw those vessels of water. You go right up there to them and just take your drink. Every need supplied.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, faith found favor. Faith found grace. But here, let me give you another one. Faith found kindness. Look at verse number 20. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness. That kindness, again, is an extension of God's mercy. That's what it is. It's the extension of God's mercy. That same word 149 times is mentioned and said to be mercy in the Word of God. And so this kindness is the mercies of God. The mercies have been extended unto her by Boaz, this man. Oh, I'm telling you, mercy's been extended to you and I.
Amen.
By that one that is likened to Boaz, the Lord Jesus, or the one that Boaz is likened to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, baby. Well, the kindness to you and I. Well, here we see it. We finally come to my text. It's verse number 22. And we see faith's fruitfulness. That's what faith found, but with faith things now, we see faith's fruitfulness. Look what it says in verse number 22. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good.
Hey.
The very first thing faith produces is comfort.
Yeah.
There's just something about faith that can comfort your soul.
Yeah, amen.
Now, you've got to admit all the time, Brother Mike, our faith is not always strong.
Yeah.
And one of the greatest enemies to faith is fear. One of the greatest enemies to faith is fear.
Right.
And when we are fearful, there's no peace, there's no comfort. But when we have faith, there's comfort.
Hey.
We have comfort in Him. There's comfort. Moab brought a lot of things into Ruth's life and a lot of things into Naomi's life. But you know what it had not brought? Comfort.
Yeah, I know.
There was no comfort in Moab. Matter of fact, we see the list. We see the tombstones there in Moab. We see the heathen worship and the society of worshiping false gods. And you know what that all leads to, don't you? It leads to damnation. It leads to destruction. I wish I could say to you that these people that we talk about that does great religious things, I could name one you would know immediately. We're on the internet. I don't want to offend so many people. But this lady has talked about all the great deeds she did. She was a nun. But if she believed and practiced the beliefs of the Catholicism, and she wasn't really trusted in Jesus Christ as her only way to heaven.
Yeah.
And her destiny wouldn't be the place that you and I, as saved people, would be going.
That's right.
See, all that their her whole life, Moab, her roof, her whole life has been damnation, and there's been no comfort, there's been no assurance. I'm talking about people tonight. Hopefully you're not sitting in our midst, but there's people trying to work their way to heaven.
Yeah.
And there's no peace in that. There's no comfort in that. There's no comfort in that. See, if it was up to you and I to keep ourselves saved, you'd already know you're lost. Just because of the things you thought about the preacher today. No, I'm just joking. Just because of this or that. Just because of what went on last week. We're in this flesh. We can't keep ourselves saved. We're kept by the power of God, the Bible says. Faith produced comfort. They had suffered great loss and devastation. But now back in Bethlehem among the field of Moab, there was renewed hope. There was hope now for them. There was hope for them. So we face trials. We face difficulty. We face trouble down here. We face seasons of heartaches and seasons of pain. And we go through these trials and these storms. But all is not lost. Why? Because you and I have faith. James talks about, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing that the trying your faith, hey, know something about the trying your faith, hey, that God's just working some things out.
Amen.
It worketh patience.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, so we realize when we got faith, there's hope. You know what hope brings? Comfort.
Amen. Yeah.
I remember as a 28-year-old boy walking and looking into the eyes of my mother sitting and laying in the casket. I want to tell you what. What no. There's pain there. There was separation there. There was sadness there. But you know what was there? Hope. Hope. Amen. And you know what that hope brought? I didn't have to say goodbye. I just had to say goodnight. I'll see you on resurrection morning.
Yeah.
I hope you have that tonight. I'm afraid some of you may not even have it, even though you're sitting in this church. I hope you have that hope that's within you. Because I guarantee you, some of you young people sitting here, you're going to, if time and life goes as it normally goes, you're going to look into a casket with some dear people laying in it. And that's when reality, boy, there's hope. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
There's a resurrection day coming.
Amen.
There's a day when that body's going to get out of the grave.
Amen.
Just as Jesus lives, we should live.
Yeah.
We should be like Him. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm trying to do my best to encourage you tonight and help you tonight.
Yeah.
Thank God for what faith produces. Faith produces comfort. Then faith produces confidence. She said, it is good, my daughter, that thy go out. In other words, she said, it is good, my daughter, that thy go out with his maidens. It produces comfort, but also it produces confidence. Naomi was aware that Ruth had been gleaning in the field of Boaz. She was aware of what was going on, who he was. And she had confidence. Naomi had confidence. She had faith. Her faith brought confidence that Boaz could do what Boaz said he could do.
Amen.
I can just put it like this. The world offers us a lot of things. Amen.
Yep.
The world offers us a lot of trinkets. And the world promises a lot of things.
Yep.
You young people, look up here for just a second. The world's going to offer you a lot of things.
Yep. Right.
It's going to promise you a lot of things. But the only thing about all that is it can't fulfill those promises.
Amen.
Oh, there's pleasure in sin, but it's for a season. It's not lasting. There's pleasure in these things. There's pleasure. It's just like you young men learn it now. Somebody said this, you know, the only difference between the boys and their toys is the prices of them. Amen.
Yeah.
When men get older, there's just the price of the toys.
Yeah.
But you just realize those toys that we have today, they weigh to the side. They don't sustain us. They don't continue to satisfy us. That new gun or that new four-wheeler gets old and gets ragged. Amen. And it don't appeal to us no more. We want a different one. But I want to tell you, that's the same thing in life.
Yeah.
Same thing. I mean, everything that this world has to offer, it tarnishes, it corrupts, it'll go away. The Lord is the only one that can offer you eternal promises.
Yeah.
Says she had faith, she had confidence. Faith brought confidence that Boaz could help, that Boaz could do what Boaz said he could do. He could have her a place to get a drink. He could fulfill her with a meal. He could protect her from the young men. He could do all that he said he could do. Can I tell y'all, my God can do all he said he could do. Hey, there's 66 books he's been telling us what he's going to do. He's going to fulfill every bit of it. Amen. He's going to fulfill it all. Faith produces confidence. This world offers us a lot of things. Some of those things are questionable. Some of those things are good. Some of those things we can enter into and some we cannot. But only God can offer us the best.
Hey.
Only God can promise us. Amen. And then lastly, quickly, faith produces something. It produces a comfort. It produces a confidence. But look what she says. It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his mate. Thou go out with his maiden. They meet thee not in any other field. I'll tell you what faith will do for you. Faith will help your behavior. It'll help your control.
Yeah.
So your faith, what you believe, what you trust, will determine how you live your life.
Amen.
Amen. So faith, or our belief system, always comes in our behavior. So what you believe affects how you behave. Amen.
Yeah.
So you need to watch what company you keep.
Yeah.
You need to watch what pals you have. You need to watch what places you go.
Yeah.
Because see, these things are going to affect you. Oh, it won't affect me, preacher. Oh, yeah, they will too.
That's right.
They'll affect you. So faith can give us, faith will help us to control our, be what we need to be. And we'll find ourselves in the right places. We'll be with the right people. We'll be doing the right thing. People don't realize it, but there's so much about our testimony that is revealed by association.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So people think of you about how with the people that you hang around.
Yeah. Yep. Right. Hey.
I'm really preaching this for all of you, but for the young people especially.
Yeah.
I've said this 1,000 times since I've been here. I'll say it 1,000 other times. I've been a pastor another 16 years here. And that's simply this. Like the man in the lake said, well, my child's always getting with the wrong crowd. Well, it could be the wrong crowd's getting with your child. Because your child is the troublemaker.
Yeah,
we never think about it that way. But you need to be aware and be very careful about the things and the people and the associations you associate with. There's been a many people would not be in jail tonight if they hadn't associated with a certain group of people.
Yeah.
See, they're just hanging around. I did this as a child, as a young teenager. I did this. I don't recommend it. I think they probably do it here in town some. I don't know if it's as big as it was in smaller town, but we had what we saw cruising town. How many raised when you was cruising town? I mean, okay, raised in place. Okay. All right. And so we cruised town, and we would cruise Andrews, and we had places we set.
Okay. Yeah.
And certain people said it. Certain, and there was just different groups that gathered. They wasn't gangs. I know they have gangs now. We wasn't in no gang. Somebody say, man, it wasn't no gang.
Yeah.
We was a bunch of people just out there. You know, but and it wasn't. I mean, I'm saying we was a. But what happened was, a certain people you get together, they would decide to do certain things. I remember one night, one night we decided we was going to go to the community center and get in the swimming pool with it closed. That was not a good night. About the time we got there and got over the fence, here, guess what showed up? The cops. How'd they know? I don't know. Mama called them, I guess. I don't know. Mama known everything. I'm not going to tell you hey, we didn't get in trouble. Amen. We got away and got out, and we didn't get in trouble. But I'm just telling you, I mean, they cops. We knew all the cops. Yeah. Amen. And this, get out of there. You ain't got no business being in there. Get out of there and get back up in. What do you want me to do? We got out of there. We got back up in. I had a Pinto. My second car I owned was a Pinto. My first car I owned was a Pinto. Now, I traded it in and got a 1970, I want to say it was 73. Pinto was red. It had wider wheels on it and everything. It was a lot newer than my old Pinto. And I pulled out from the gas station, and it was a straight shift. I'm telling you, it was wet. That's the only way it would spin tires, would be wet. And I spin my tires and slid that thing sideways coming out. And there, Mama called the cops. I get pulled over. He talks to me. He said, "You realize that's reckless driving?" I said, "No, I wasn't reckless. That thing got so much power." I didn't say that. But anyway, but we just done things. And it was because, you know what? If I hadn't been down there in those places, I wouldn't have done those things.
Yeah.
If I hadn't have been. So we wasn't bad. I know that. We didn't get into big trouble. We didn't drink. I wasn't with the group that drunk. Amen? That was a group. If you wanted to drink, there was a group down there doing that. Right. If you wanted to do dope, there's a group that was, they're going to go somewhere and do that. Amen. They were all the way around. They were always around.
Yeah.
You can find that. I'm telling you, people you associated with.
Amen. Yeah.
Right. It's kind of like we went to Mexico this time, and a missionary said this, and I still laugh at it. He said, "We got to have a good gang here." There ain't no such thing as a good gang. They don't kill people like they have to. I mean, that's good. Amen. That don't go together. Our association, people you associate with, and there's people sitting in jail because they're sitting somewhere, just hanging around, just doing something, just hanging around, just killing time, and somebody decided to do something, and the thoughts got in their mind, finding the thoughts become actions, and the actions become wrong, and they got caught, and they sat in jail. There's some people that still. They can't hold their hands still because they sat somewhere and so-and-so come up and offered them a drink. And they thought, "I'll just take it one time," and they drink, and finally become an alcoholic.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a social drinker. Somebody say amen.
Amen. Yeah.
And they become an alcoholic. There's people, because they got with a crowd, that crowd said, "Hey, you know, we want to have a little fun. We want to do something a little different." And we got a little marijuana. We got a little drug. We got a little pill. And that person indulged and do that, and they got addicted. They got hooked. They never dreamed they would and they never thought they would, but they got hooked. So she told, Naomi told Ruth, "You abide in the field. You stay in the right place, you'll find out the right things happen. You stay around the right people." Hey, that's why you need to go to church. That's why it'd be a good place to find you a mate is in the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. A good place today is at the house of God.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, when you turn 31 and you get old enough today, that's a good place to do it. I'm just saying, why? It's hard to get in trouble in here. I haven't had to do this in years. But I have called the young people down from the pulpit. Need to separate a little bit. I called some down here one night. Sitting right over here on this left side. They came in here. Married people don't even do that here. Amen. It's all right for them to do it, but you ain't putting your arm around her and hugging up to her right here in the church, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Anyway, that would be our people. I wouldn't say that to nobody else's. Amen. Yeah. But our young people ought to know better to do something like that.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, I don't know where this is going, but I'm telling you, so I'm having fun doing it. But that's what she said. Faith produces control. If we believe, then we will do right. Our faith will help us control our bodies. Our faith will help us control our minds. Our faith will help us control our actions. When you realize there's a holy God watching you, When you realize there's a judgment day ahead. We realize there's an accountability day. Amen. Not the pastor. I'm talking about Almighty God. Then look at verse 23 and I'm done. So she kept fast by the maiden of Boaz to glean into the end of the barley harvest, the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Guess what? Things are working out. When you consider this conversation took place thousands of years ago, this advice that she gave her is still good today. It's good. Your faith will bring comfort. It's good, my daughter, to stay with those beings, stay with the people of God. It's good. Don't leave the field. Hey, don't leave the things that you know where the blessings of God is at. Don't leave the place, the places of blessing. And Naomi knew about that, didn't she?
Yeah.
It sure would be better to abide here and work in the field. Sweat. I'm going to tell you, harvesting was a hard job. It's scooping down. It's hard. Amen. We haven't done it yet. How many here pick cotton? Raise your hand. I know Grace, them, they pick cotton. Amen. You pick cotton? Amen. Oh, you're that old. I'm just joking. I'm just joking. I'm glad I got good friends in church. I pick cotton one day. Didn't really pick cotton. I went with my sister. She was going to pick some cotton. I forget his name now. I go to the exact place where I can show you where the field's at, show you where his house was at, and Brenda went down there to pick cotton. I call Brenda Deborah all the time. Anyway, but went down there to pick cotton. You know what I done? I got in the cotton field and I hid. They couldn't find me. That man got up. He was scared to death. He couldn't find me. They went home and got my mom. They came up here. I just stood up. Oh, here he is. That wasn't a good day. My sister, I don't think my mom didn't come. They called mom or something. Anyway, my sister whooped me all the way home. Got home and mama whooped me. Got home, daddy whooped me. And they said, we should send you back to that man. Let him whoop you. Amen. Where did I hid? We're talking about 3 hours. They was trying to find me, a couple hours they was trying to find me. I fell asleep, actually. Justify myself. When I was hiding, I fell asleep. But you that raised your hand, you know what it is. It's work. I know what it is to pick a little green beans. I know what it is to pick a little corn. And it's work. Can't stand to pick okra. Amen. Like to eat it, can't stand to pick it. Makes me itch all over and everything. It's terrible looking. It's terrible thing. Can't cut it off the thing. It's hard to get off. I break the whole thing. It won't ever grow no more. I ain't what you want me to do. Amen. Trying to get one little thing cut off. It's hard work. Can I tell you, if you're going to stay righteous and stay right, it'll be hard. You have to fight against this world system. You have to fight against your flesh. We have to fight against Satan, the temptations of this world. It'll be hard.
Yeah.
But you know what'll help you? Stay with the right people.
Yeah.
Stay in the same faith.
Yeah.
Can I just preach a little bit more?
Yeah.
I'm just going to preach to these young people a little bit. If you date anybody, you're going to date somebody the same faith.
Amen. Right. Yeah.
I'm not telling nobody, but date somebody the same faith. Oh. Amen. Huh? That's exactly right. Amen. Well, I'm telling you the advice that Naomi gave to Ruth.
Yeah.
Faith, fruitfulness. It comforts us. It makes us have confidence. And it helps us control us. It's still good for us today. We're standing, our heads are bowed.
Good preaching and good message this morning and tonight. I want to thank you for all of your presence in the services. We pray, God, you'd be with us this week. Pray, Father, most especially for these youngins, Lord, as they go off to this meeting. Pray, Father, that your hand be upon them. Keep them safe. Give them traveling mercies. Work in their hearts, dear God, that they'll come in revived. Lord, save the souls, dear God, of those that's not yet saved, I pray. And, Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise, honor, and the glory for all that's accomplished. In your name we pray. Amen.